Hello and welcome back to the My First Marathon podcast. My name is Taylor and today I'm joined by a guest who's built a reputation online for being the realistic runner. She lives in North Carolina, works as a social media director, and has ran 2 marathons and 3 half marathons over the last 2 years. I'm so excited to talk to her today. So without further ado, please welcome Mackenzie. Well, Mackenzie, thank you so much for coming on and talking to me today. We just said it, but I realized way too late that you lived in North Carolina, so I'm excited to know somebody else that lives in the area, for sure.
Oh, yeah. We love North Carolina. It's the best state, in my humble opinion.
For sure, for sure. Well, cool. Well, I know you've got your sort of brand online, which I love, about being a realistic runner. I'm excited to kind of hear about how you got into that world. But I figured maybe we'd start from the beginning before we get there, about where you started as a runner. So how did you get into running in the first place?
Oh, so I did not grow up running. I played soccer for a few years and then got into swimming. I had always grown up swimming, so that was like always in the back of my mind, but then took it more seriously once I got to high school. So that was my form of activity. I hated running just because it was always a punishment, or like we did it for dry land for swimming, and I just was, it was
yeah.
And I also like was always so insecure how slow I was, and just like the way that I ran, like I just felt like I looked like a T-Rex trying to run, and I just I didn't want that. So, and I also remember vividly, like I used to play, I did Ultimate Frisbee too for like, fun. And I remember there was like one time, like one of the guys on the team was like, "You run weird." I'm like,
"Oh,
thank you."
hate that.
That kind of just like seared in my brain for a really long time.
Yeah, for sure,
And it wasn't until I got to college that So went to college in 2019, and then pandemic happened. And pandemic, I mean, like for everyone, like everyone struggled in some way, shape, or form. And that's when I really started to realize that I struggle with anxiety to a certain extent that I couldn't quite name when I was younger. And when you're forced to just stay in one little area for
a lot of time to think.
A while. Yeah, a lot of time to think. So you just learn a lot about yourself. And one of the things I learned was that I had pretty bad anxiety. And, you know, that took form in like a lot of different ways, and tried to suppress that with certain things, and, you know, just didn't work out. And junior year of college, I like had always thought, oh man, it'd be cool to like run, you know, a half marathon, right? And I don't know why, like I'm very much a 0 to 100 kind of person.
Yeah, so I was gonna say, most people are like, you know, 5k sounds cool, but you went for the half.
I'm very much like 0 to 100, like if I'm gonna do something, might as well go all in. And I remember my freshman year college roommate, that was one of her goals, and I was like, oh, I'll do it with you. And we went for 1 3-mile run, and I was like, yeah, I'm never running again, screw this. And so then the fact that it came back up my junior year of college was fascinating. I was like, it kept bubbling up, right? Like running was like, maybe this is for me. And so I got in contact with my freshman year college roommate again, and was like, hey, like I'm interested in doing a half marathon, like would you do one with me? And she's like, yeah, totally, like would love to. And she's had always been running at that point, like that's like her source of joy. So I started doing it, and at that point too, I was like in a relationship and it just wasn't great. And so it was like, it was mostly just like all the anxiety. It was like, all right, I need something that's gonna help.
I needed somewhere to go. Yeah,
exactly. So started training for the half marathon, and there was like the back of my thought. I was like, in the back of my mind, I was like, maybe I should do a marathon too. So I was like secretly also like, I'm going to do that as well.
Yeah.
After I do the half marathon.
Plotting long term.
The half marathon is just like a stepping stone, right? We're
going
to just use it as a training race to the marathon.
Right.
Looking back, I didn't know anything. All right. Like I literally did not.
I love the ambition though. Like that you went right for marathon. You're like, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do 100%.
Yeah. No. And now I'm over here like, oh, I need to just like go full send and do a 100-miler without even doing like anything above a marathon. Yeah. I'm like, Mackenzie, chill out, dude. So this was like 2 years ago, two and a half years ago, and start training. And I don't know anything about running. Like, I didn't even know that you had to, like, get fitted for certain shoes. I didn't know, like, what socks to wear. I didn't know anything.
Right.
Didn't know the difference between, like, certain shirts materials, like, you know, polyester versus, like, cotton. So, like, I would wear, like, cotton shirts in, like, Raleigh, North Carolina, where it is, like, 90 degrees and 100% humidity. Yeah. Like, it was fine.
Yeah.
I'm, like, dying.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And so we started training and, like, it was going well. And I started getting, like, I started learning some of the ins and outs. Like, I got, like, a vest from REI. It was, like, $40.
Yeah.
And learning that, learning nutrition, what I liked and what I didn't like. And I started learning, oh, I probably need to get some actual running shoes. So I went from running in, like, some off-brand, like, Adidas shoes from Walmart to, like, actual, like, Brooks shoes that worked for me.
And how much of a difference did it make? I mean, shoes were, like, difference. Game changer for me.
If there is one thing, like, I'm, like, running can be a very inexpensive sport, but if there is one thing I tell anyone to purchase, it is good socks and a good pair of shoes. Like,
definitely.
That is the one thing. You don't have to race a day in your life. You don't need to get all the fancy clothes. Like, just please get shoes and socks. Please.
And earlier than you think, too, because I feel like people are like, I can't get, I'm only running a 10K. Mm-hmm. I don't need nice shoes for this. You do. Like, your knees and your ankles and your hips will thank you later for sure.
Yes, yes. And so that was a huge learning curve. So I ran that race, and I remember, like, mile 10, because I wore, like, Bombas socks, but they were cotton.
Mm-hmm.
Massive blister on the bottom of my foot. Like, it did not go away for ages. So that was another learning experience, all that kind of stuff. And then I, like, was like, all right, I did the half marathon. I can totally do this marathon. So I, like, shoot for one that's, like, in 2 months from that half marathon. And that's when the injuries started to happen. Because I didn't know, oh, maybe I should strength train. Maybe I should stretch. Maybe I should do mobility. I literally
yeah, just
did
trying
not know,
a lot.
I did not know shit about shit. Sorry if that's...
No, like, totally fine.
I literally knew nothing.
Yeah,
And so that kind of stopped that dream a little bit. And that was in 2022. So I stopped running, quite frankly, like, after that. Like, I was like, all right, like, I did the half marathon, set out for my goal. I'm done. I'm good. I don't need to run anymore.
Right, right.
Kind of got back into weightlifting. And then at that point, I was going into my senior year of college and was like, I need to do something to prove to myself that, like, I can do something for me and by myself. And then the marathon came up and I was like, okay, we're going back into this running thing. Like, it just, the way that running just kept, it just kept coming up. And I think it was because I just started to quickly realize it was the only thing that truly helped my anxiety at that time. And just does in general. And it's the only thing that I have found in my life that, like, one has just healed so many parts of, like, things I've experienced. Like, I was talking about this with somebody else the other day. I was like, the link of people that experience, like, trauma in any form, like, shape or form, that go into, like, these ultra endurance sports and activities is insane. Like, that pipeline
definitely
is crazy, because when you think about it, like, when you're going out there for a long period of time and you're just with your thoughts, like, you do so much healing, you do so much processing that, like, you don't necessarily have the time, and for some people the resources, to do with therapy. That's like, I mean, it's free therapy in a lot of ways.
Definitely.
So I just learned that quickly and knew, okay, I need to do something for myself. And for me, that was a marathon my senior year of college. And, you know, I took everything I knew from the half marathon and I was like, all right, I need to really invest in some good stuff. Play around with, like, maybe some different energies and whatnot, and just started training. At that point, I didn't really quite understand the idea of, like, easy runs and, like, the importance of that and the different types of runs, like tempo runs, speed workout, intervals, all that kind of stuff. And so I was just going every run full out. Like, that's what I thought you needed to do to be a runner. And my minimum pace that I wanted to hit was, like, a 10-minute mile. So, like, I would go out, and if I didn't hit a 10-minute mile, my run was a fail. If I took a walk break, my run was a fail.
Yeah, that all or nothing mindset.
It was very challenging, because it's like, when you go from, like, half marathon to marathon world, it's two very different mindsets that you have to take on. And the mindset that I had in the half marathon did work. Like, yeah, a 9-10 minute pace, you can keep that, but like initially maybe, but when you go to a marathon, it's not just two half marathons stacked on one another. It is a completely different race.
Yes. And I feel like a lot of people say that too. They'll say that you're just doubling 13 miles. I would say it's three separate races. It's like race to 13. And then it's 13 to like 20 where you're like, okay, maybe I can do this. And then 20 to 26, you're like, I've never ran a day in my life. I know nothing about this. Everything's out the window. Like, this is insane. Yeah.
Sheer willpower at that point.
Definitely. Definitely. Yeah.
And so I signed up for this race. I was like, all right, I want it to be in North Carolina. I want it to be relatively close to Raleigh, like, you know, just take like a little weekend trip. Mm-hmm. And so I landed on Elizabeth City, North Carolina. It was like the Coast Guard Marathon, flat, you know, it's on the coast, like, great. Yeah, that's perfect. Something that I can do. And so, I mean, like, I felt good during training. I had one bad training run that kind of started to put things into perspective for me as far as my pace was concerned. It was the 18-mile long run, because I was just doing like Hal Higdon's,
like, yeah,
beginner marathon training plan.
Is it's a great one. I did the same one.
Yeah, exactly. And so I went on this 18-mile long run, and I bonked. Like, that was when I realized, like, you can't just go out at the same pace every single run. Like, you have to have variability, and you have to, like, take your easy runs easy and not just like my heart rate was elevated every single run to a point where it was like, I can't sustain this for long periods of time. And so then that's when I talked to my uncle, and he's a triathlete, and he was like, hey, have you heard of heart rate zone training? I was like, nope. And so he sent me some stuff, looked into it a little bit, and at that point I was so far in the training, I was like, I can't really implement this to the extent that I would want to. But I did pay attention to it a little bit towards the end of that training cycle, and it kind of helped, you know, alleviate some of the pressure I put on myself to perform at a certain pace. Like,
instead of
going into my first marathon thinking I needed to hold a 9-10 minute pace, I was like, crazy. We're just going to chill out. Crossing the finish line is the feat.
Is the goal.
Yeah, exactly. And so the marathon was March of last year. It's like March 4th, I think. And, you know, there was a lot of feels. Like, it was like this huge buildup. Like, I had accomplished all these things during training that I was like, man, I've never ran these distances before.
Yeah.
Like, I remember I would come back from, like, on weekends, and my roommates at the time were like, oh, like, where were you? I was like, oh, you know, just had my long run. They're like, how long did you run? And I was like, oh, just 15 miles. And they're like,
casually?
I was like, you guys know that I'm doing this. They're like, no, but like 15 miles. I'm like, it is a marathon. So
yeah, there's 11 more to go on top of that.
Yeah, exactly. That was kind of like just seeing everyone's reactions, especially like, you know, people in my life are like, you're really going to do this? Like, are you sure you can do this on top of everything else you're doing? I'm like, oh, yes, absolutely. Like, I'm going to do
this. Did you find that motivating when they would say, are you really going to do that?
I hate, that's one thing about me. I hate when people are like, are you sure you can do that? Like, that's going to be a lot. That's going to be really hard on your body. Like, that just, like, I'm like, oh, now I've got to prove you wrong.
Yeah.
As well as everybody else.
Right.
I don't know why. I just like that. Anyway, but, and so I went to that weekend, and like my friends came down, and my mom and stepdad came down, and we started that race, and it was so windy. Like, I don't know what happened overnight, but it was like the day before it was great, lovely, like beautiful. Next day, I mean, it was still sunny and awesome, but it was so windy. Like, I'm talking 30 plus mile per hour winds. And it was an out and back. And so we start the race. I'm in my feels. I'm doing a good job, like hanging out, vibing.
Yeah.
You know, a little excited. My heart rate's a little high, but having a good time overall. Get to the halfway mark. We turn around, and the rest of that race was just 30 mile per hour headwinds. Like, you are just trudging along,
fighting, like, for your life at that point,
and it's the worst half of the race. Like, it's like, when you really couldn't have done this on the way back, like, you had to do it like on the worst part.
Yeah.
And I mean, and it was also in such a small town, and it was a very small race, so it was like, there was, I think, from mile, oh goodness, like 15 to probably about 22, like, I was by myself. There
oh
was,
gosh, yeah.
Like, the separation from me to other runners was so significant, and, like, yeah. I was also, like, in relatively the back of the pack, and so that was, that mentally was really, really challenging.
Sure, and yeah.
I was like, I don't ever want to do this again. Like,
right.
Because when you're by yourself for that long, especially at the hardest parts of the race, it's, oh man, I will never forget. But, like, also proving to yourself, hey, but I still did it. I still got through that. Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. What during that point when you're hitting that wall, like the 30 mile an hour winds are coming your way, you haven't seen anybody in a while, like, what if any, like, doubt was going through your head? Were you thinking, I might not finish this thing? Like, did that ever cross your mind?
Yeah, I think for me, at that point, because it's like, running is my, like, only form of, like, control, in a sense.
Yeah.
Like, you have a choice, right? Like, you're especially when you're doing a very large distance. I mean, even any distance for that matter, like, you can go out for a run now and you can decide whenever to stop running.
Right.
It's like, when you're in that moment, it's like, and this sounds so extreme, but, like, you're making a vote and you're casting a vote for yourself, right?
Totally.
Moments, like, and for me, it was like, I, no matter how much doubt I'm feeling, it's like, all I know to do right now is just one foot in front of the other.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you can text whoever you want to text on the course and, like, try to get as much encouragement, but it's like those voices. And I think for me, it was like, I had to prove to myself in this race that I could do anything, and I could especially do an activity that I used to hate.
But
now has brought me so much peace. And it's like, I didn't want this, like, those one moments where it was like, the voice is like, I don't think you can actually do this. Like, if you just told your mom right now, she'd come pick you up and you'd be done.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, no, like, I've already come this far. Like, I'm already at mile 18. I am not stopping now. Like, yeah, my body hurts and it's uncomfortable, but, like, my ankle's not broke. Like, nothing's broken. Like, I keep going. And for me, and I think for a lot of people that do a marathon, I mean, half marathon, marathon, 5K, 10K, like, are trying to prove to themselves that they can do something they never thought possible, right?
Like, definitely.
And because I think, like, running is, like, the most uncomfortable thing. It's not
100%, especially distance.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's not enjoyable. Like, one, you're by, like, you're with your thoughts. Like, you're forcing yourself to be with your thoughts on top of also just moving your body in, like, such a, like, uncomfortable way sometimes.
Yeah,
like,
and being on your feet for, like, 3+ hours at some points. Yeah, it's exactly. Definitely not, like, the most comfortable.
Why am I doing this? Like, why am I torturing myself?
Yeah.
But it's like, I think just the feeling afterwards, like, it, that just makes it so much more worth it. And for me, it was like, I just had that, like, that finish line in my head so much, because it was like that, like, I'm crossing that finish line for the person that I was, like, during the pandemic. Like, I'm running for, you know, like, I'm running for the girl that, like, you know, struggled with, like, body image and, like, food. And, like, I'm, you know, I'm running for the girl that, like, experienced some horrible crap in college, or I'm, you know, running for the girl that has, like, this crippling anxiety. Like, so many reasons, like, I'm running for this girl who is me, because, like, I just need to prove, and I need to, like, be able to show my worth to myself almost. And it's like that, like, I think for me, it was like all the doubt and, like, the voices in the back of my head, it was like, you have no chance, dog. Like, you're not gonna, like, be able to get through to me at this point, even if I'm like struggling. So
I'm gonna crawl past this finish line if I have to.
Exactly. It's like,
yeah,
if unless, like, my foot is broken, like, I'm still doing this thing. So I don't even know if I answered your question, but that's my answer.
No, totally. No, yeah, I mean, I just asked about doubt, and I think that's something that a lot of people can relate to, especially, I mean, I can relate to it. Towards the end of the marathon, I had that doubt creep in, like, are you sure you're, like, is your back gonna give out, yeah, or your knees gonna give out, like, is this, are you gonna puke in front of everybody at the finish line, yeah, like, I think all of that goes through your mind towards the end. But you're, I think you're spot on. It's like, you're not running for yourself that specific day. Like, you're not running to push through that pain at that moment. You're running for all of the pain that you've experienced thus far in your life when, yeah, when you're at that point.
My mom said something I remember before my first marathon that has always resonated with me. Like, she was giving me a pep talk, and she's really good at pep talks. But she was like, "You've already run the marathon."
Yeah.
And I was like, she's like, "You have spent the last 4 to 5 months training for this. You've put in the miles. Like, you've already ran the marathon." Like,
yeah,
this,
I love
the
that.
Actual marathon is just a celebration. It's like a resemblance of all that hard work. Like, you, even though, like, the max mileage you've done is a 20-mile run, you are going to be able to get through those last 6.2 miles like it's nothing, because, like, yeah, you've done the work. You've ran so many marathons in your life. Like, you've, yeah, done hard stuff, that this is just a symbolic way to show that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I like that a lot. I've heard that too. Just that the marathon is like, you've already done it. It's a celebration. You should enjoy it. I mean, exactly, you're not going to enjoy it while it's happening to you, but you're going to enjoy, yeah, it a lot after the fact. But yeah, it's just, there's this big buildup, and mm-hmm, I think it's really important to keep that in mind when you're going through training as well, that, like, this is the work. I'm making sacrifices for a reason. I've got an end point at the end of this thing. I've, yeah, got something that I'm working towards. And then on the day of, it's, you're just putting one foot in front of the other and making the best happen.
Yeah. Exactly.
I also heard some great advice on my race day, to that if you've never ran a marathon before, you're guaranteed to run the best marathon that you've ever ran that day. So just go out there and do it. Like, yeah, you're not, yeah, planning. Most of us are not planning on winning the dang thing. So, mm-mm, just go out there and, no, cross the finish line. Like, that's, yeah, all you can do.
Yeah. Well, and it's also, like, cool, I think, like, and this is not talked about a lot, but, like, the people that you meet along, like, on, yeah, the marathon day. Like, I remember there was this gentleman that, like, we were at mile 17 and we started talking. He came up to me. He's like, "Hey, what time is it?" And I had, like, 12 of them. And we started talking, and he's like, "Is this your first marathon?" I was like, "Oh, yeah. Like, I'm, you know, da, da, da." And he was like, "You're going to get the bug." And I'm like, "Absolutely not. I don't think I am. This is miserable right now." And he's like, "No, you're going to get the bug. I trust, yeah, me." And I was like, I did get the bug, but, yep, he just was so kind, and just, like, hearing his story, like, I mean, that man had ran, like, 20 plus marathons, and,
yeah,
like, he's done all the world majors, and just, and, like, he's just out there for the sake of moving his body, and it brings, yeah, him happiness and joy. And I was like, oh man, like, it, because at that point, like, I was still in this mindset, like, I need to go fast, I need to keep moving, da, 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 da. And, yeah, that, like, listening to him talk, I was like, you can do this, and it's not about, like, breaking records. What?
Right,
like,
right.
Being able to hear that from somebody else was just—it was really, really cool, because it, yeah, it was one of many things that changed my perspective on running and what it can be, and, yeah, what it should be for a lot of people, right? So,
yeah, that's really cool. Yeah, yeah. And he ran, you, like you said, he 20, all of the majors, 20 different races, yeah, whatever. And you said that race you were running was even a small hometown run. So the fact that he was out there doing it, not for the whatever t-shirt you're gonna get, no, not for, you know, the perks that he can, mm-hmm, post online or whatever, he was just doing it to do it. I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
So I want to take it back just a little bit, because I think I'm curious where, from, like, zero to half marathon point. So going from, you said you were an athlete in high school, team sport, mm-hmm, athlete. I was also a team sport athlete. So I understand, like, you almost have this itch that you need to scratch after yeah, high school sports, where you're like, I want to be able to move my body and work towards something, but I'm not, yeah, really sure where to put this energy. So what training, you said you followed the Hal Higdon one for your marathon, but what were you following in the beginning? Were you just going out and doing it for time? Like, what got you started?
So I had seen my mom do a half marathon when I was, I think, in elementary school, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And she just did Hal Higdon. So, like, that's all I knew, mm-hmm, was Hal Higdon. And if, you know, to anyone that's listening that doesn't know what Hal Higdon is, he's just this guy that is, like, this, you know, crazy marathoner, and just started this whole, like, basically free plans for runners at, yeah, various levels. And he has, like, very novice, one, beginners, plans, and they're great. Like, you know, like they're something, right? Mm-hmm. If you don't want to pay for a coach, and I didn't want to, so
right. Yeah.
But looking back, like, it wasn't the best in the sense, like, because I literally, like, was not running at all, and then I just jumped right into that plan, and it has you yeah. running, like, I think 10 miles, like, you know, for the first week, and, like, that really shocked my body. Like, I remember yeah. I went for a 3-mile run with the mindset of going out as fast as you can to get the run done.
Yeah, yeah.
And I could not move for 3 days. And I was like, what am I doing? Why am I doing this?
0 to 100 for sure.
Exactly. And so that was like, I knew the Hal Higdon plan just because of my mom.
Yeah.
And it was just convenient.
It's a good starting point. Yeah.
Exactly.
Like, to your point, it's free. It's decent enough. Like, it explains a little bit to you. I think for me, it was tough because I didn't understand, like, it had good detail, but I didn't really understand what it meant until later. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
But I think it's, yeah, it's a decent place to start.
It gets the job done if you yeah. don't know anything about running. And yeah. for me, I didn't know anything about running. And I didn't really do any research. I didn't have social media at that point. So I didn't
yeah.
following anyone that like
yeah.
knew what
yeah.
they were talking about. And so I was just like, this works. Like, no one else around me is like a big half marathoner or marathoner. So I'm just going to wing it here.
Yeah.
And like, I sprinkled in like some strength training here and there, because that's what I was doing in college at that point. But
yeah,
as I probably should have. So.
Gotcha. Yeah. So looking back now on that experience, what do you think you would have done different if you had that back?
A lot more research. I would have like, I don't know if there is this, and maybe there probably is at this point, but like, I would just want to know like the top 5 things I needed to do to run a half marathon. Like,
yeah.
Okay. Get good shoes. Get a good pair of socks.
Yeah. Like a checklist.
Moisture wicking. Like, yeah. Like, literally tell me 5 things I need to do. Okay. I'm going to yeah. do them. Give me the plan that's actually going to work and not just like get me out there running. Like, I need some yeah. explanation and reasoning why. And like, also I like want to know races that are going to be like very pace inclusive. Cause like, I didn't mm-hmm. like, you know how long it's going to take you. Like, you can have like
right,
a set
right.
time, but you don't know how long it's going to take you until you get to race day.
Yeah,
right. Like, especially for your first races.
Yeah, you can guess, but you really have no idea.
Exactly. And I just wish that I would have been able to have someone or know someone or a figure that like told me it was okay to chill. Like,
right,
you don't
right.
need to go all out, because I am a very competitive person. So like,
yeah,
I think that's what's so ironic about the position I'm in now, is like, I'm very much like, meh, like, do what you got to do to get it done.
Yeah.
Right. Like,
yeah.
And you know, 2-3 years ago, me would be like, Mackenzie, what are you doing? Like, you're not
yeah.
Boston qualifying right now. What is wrong with you?
Yeah.
It's like, cause I'm just so internally competitive with myself. Like, that's why
yeah.
swimming was so great for me, cause it was an individual sport. Unless you were on a relay team, but like, even then it's like you against you. And
right,
so
right.
I just wish I would have had someone or a figure or like a runner that like had done these incredible things. Like, when I met that guy on the marathon course, that was like, yeah, like I run, walk, I chill. Like, I'm in no.
Yeah.
And it was
yeah,
like,
yeah,
you can do that.
This is allowed. Yeah.
This is
I had
allowed.
So many people when I would post, like, before I like had my running page, and it was runners that I was posting to, because that changed a lot. Like, once you were posting to runners that people got it, I stopped getting these messages. But in the beginning, when I would post just on my regular stuff, I had so many people reach out to me and ask me, like, you can walk during marathon training? Like, you can walk? I'm like, it's 26 miles. You think I'm running this whole thing? You're,
yeah.
like, you're out of your
See,
mind.
I didn't think it was allowed. Like, I kid you not, if I went on a run in like the first year and a half of my running journey, I would stop my runs if I took a walk break, and they would be failed. Like, they
yeah.
would not count. Even though I probably would get 6 miles into an 8-mile run, and if I took one walk break for 1 minute, it doesn't count.
Yeah. And it's amazing,
so,
like, you did that and you stuck with it. Because I feel like so many people have that all or nothing mindset. And when they can't hit
yeah.
those milestones, they just quit. And I guess you even said that you took some time off because you probably had a little bit of that all or nothing mindset still.
Oh yeah. It definitely, there was periods like after the first half marathon and I got hurt, like I had a pretty bad hip IT band and like just inflammation and injury. And that put me out for, oh gosh, probably about 5 months. Just and also just motivation around running too wasn't there. And then like 2023 rolled around, and I needed it again. And I was like, all right, I'm gonna do this the right way. Gonna do some more research, but I still had that all or nothing mindset. And then I ran the first marathon in March last year. Took a couple months off, just like one or two, more from just the aspect of like I was graduating college and like wanted
Had a
to
lot going
enjoy
on.
life. Yeah, my brother was getting married, like I had things going
Reasonable.
on. And so, but then I got back into it, and that's when everything really started to shift when I started training for Chicago last year. And I let go of all expectations and just took all of the pressure off myself. I think that's the biggest difference, is just taking the pressure off of yourself. And as an all or nothing person, that is extremely hard to do.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. And you kind of already answered this question, but was that the point, when you started training for the Chicago Marathon, that was the point when you started to like think about pace inclusivity and think about what that meant for you as a runner? Is that the point where you started to think about those kind of things?
Like I mentioned a little earlier, when I was training for the first marathon, I went on an 18-mile long run, had a complete breakdown because I just got totally like gassed, and called my uncle, and he was like, look into heart rate zone training. So I started doing that a little bit, towards the tail end of that training cycle, and then ran the marathon. Experience life. And then at that point, I was like, I don't think I'm gonna do a marathon again, and if I do, it'll be in a couple years. But then my mom was like, hey, I'm gonna do the Chicago Marathon. And I was like,
Good for her.
you're not really a running or a runner, like she's done a half marathon before, and that was like 10 years before earlier. And I was like, okay. But the larger story of that is, at the time, my aunt, her sister was in ICU in Chicago, and she had two double lung transplants in 2022. Probably gonna get that date wrong, but the whole idea was, my mom was like, okay, because at that point, when my aunt got transferred to Chicago, the Chicago Marathon was happening, so that was in October of 2022, and she was like, all right, you're next by next year at this time, I'm going to be crossing the Chicago marathon line, and you're going to be with me. She told my aunt that, right? And just for health reasons, that didn't happen. She might, but my aunt, like, the goal was to get my aunt out of the ICU and out of the hospital by that weekend. And so I was like, well, crap, mom, like, you're doing this really cool thing for my aunt, like,
No pressure.
I gotta do it too. And so, we went in for the lottery. My mom, me, and my friend Sydney, they both got in through the lottery by some miracle, and I didn't get in. So I was like, oh
Oh
crap,
no.
like, I'm not gonna be able to run this. And then it was like kind of a full circle moment, because there's a Cystic Fibrosis Foundation, which is all around, like, cystic fibrosis is a lung disease, and one of my dear friends had passed away from cystic fibrosis a couple years before that. And I was like, all right, this is going to be in memory of him, and then also my aunt. And so it was like, great, all right, I'm
I
running
love that.
Chicago. And I knew at that point, all right, I took everything I learned from the first marathon and how I felt after that, and it was like, I want to go into this marathon with no expectations. Like, this is a huge marathon, it's a world major, and I want to just be able to be there for my mom, be there for my aunt, and just celebrate it, and like, just enjoy running. Not
Well, the second one was like it's less about yourself, right? The first one you had to get over
exactly.
this personal hurdle, and now you've got something else that you're doing it for.
Exactly. Exactly. And for me, it was like, I think as far as like the pace inclusivity is concerned, like, I just, when you experience the first one, like, at the level that I had experienced it, of like putting so much pressure on myself initially to perform, to then going to this, it was just like, I'm just doing this because it brings me joy. And why would I put pressure on myself to perform on something that brings me joy. Like, right. Undue pressure. Like, yeah, you can put a good amount of healthy pressure on yourself to do something that you enjoy. It makes it even more fun.
Yeah.
But I was putting, like, undue pressure. It was, like, making it unenjoyable for me.
Sure, and, sure.
So, yeah, that kind of was that mindset. And it was also, too, like, my mom hadn't run in a long time. So it was, like, I wanted to be there for her and to show her that she could do it as well.
Yeah.
And, like, so we kind of, I mean, like, I moved back and, you know, from college, and like I just wanted to be with her and like help her through that training process, so we would go on our long runs together, like nice. Motivate each other.
Yeah.
And so it started with that, like on like a smaller level of community, but then I just was like, I remember when I started doing heart rate zone training for the Chicago, I was getting so frustrated because it is like such a mental battle when you go from going all out and averaging a 9 to 10 minute mile to then like a 15 minute mile.
Yeah.
Because you're trying to keep it, you're trying to build that base back up in a healthy, sustainable way rather than like, you know, going all out and leading to injury, like what mm-hmm. happened to me. And
burnout and yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so I remember like, I was like, I cannot believe I'm going this slow. And I was like, okay, but that's where I'm at right now. Like we got to embrace it. We got to accept it. Like I'm still mm-hmm. doing the distance. I'm still getting it done. Mm-hmm. And when I moved back home, I was like, all right, we got to find community. Like I got to find community. And that's when I went to, you know, a couple group runs and experienced getting left behind. And I was like, already there is an issue here.
There is found it. Wrong. There we go.
There is something wrong.
Yeah.
And you know, meanwhile, like my friend that was also training for Chicago with us, like she's down in Mississippi, and I was like calling her and I'm like, dude, I want to run with somebody, but like my mom and I were on opposite schedules, like what do I do? And she's right. like, well, and like I was telling her about these group run experiences, and she's like, well, you know, like what about posting? And I was like, on what? She was like, social How? Media.
Exactly. Yeah.
Social media. I'm like, dude, I don't have social media. Like I had deleted all social media at that point. I'd been
That's like, crazy. Did I didn't realize you were starting from like zero.
Oh yeah. No, I hated social media. Then that's a whole nother topic and story. But like for about 2 years I didn't have TikTok, didn't have Instagram, didn't have Snapchat, none of it. And I was like, I really don't want to do that, but you might have a point. And also at that point I was kind of transitioning in my job to social media and marketing. So I was like, okay, mm-hmm. this will work.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I love being creative and like having that kind of outlet. It's really nice. And I clearly wasn't connecting here in my area. So I was like, well, I bet
look online.
The only other option is online. So
yeah.
Let's use social media for its original intent.
Yeah.
And so then I posted my first video on TikTok and it was like so low level. I look back at that video now and I'm like, I physically cringe at myself. Like,
yeah.
It's awkward. Like you have your like phone and you're like, okay guys, like
I'm like, yeah, the first time God. You're like, what am I doing with my life? Like did I really just hold my phone up like that?
Yeah, yeah. And I but like, you know, and it struck a chord. And I think for me, like especially like around like the Realistic Runner name, it was like I didn't want to call myself slow. And I didn't want to call myself fast because I think it's so subjective
to
everyone's situation. And realistically, I've got other crap going on in my life, but like I'm still trying to make these seemingly impossible things possible for myself. And that was like the whole idea of it was like, you know, I want this to be an inclusive space. Like truthfully, a realistic runner can be just about any runner you want it to be.
Yeah.
Right. Like,
yeah.
You know, we all have our own internal idea of what a realistic runner is. I know what it is for me.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's attracted most of that crowd, but also like it's attracted a lot of other people because it resonates with a lot of people because it's like realistically, like nothing's perfect during a training cycle. Like you're going to mess up. You're going to miss a run. You're going to have a full-time job where you're going to miss a run. You're going to have other obligations, pets, kids, like whatever it is. And I think, you know, and that's just like where that all started. And it was not in the plan. Let's just put it that way. Like I think what started as a way for me to build community and to feel like I wasn't the only one, because coming back here and going to several group runs where I was the last one was really demoralizing in the sense of like, I had just done a marathon. I'm a runner. Like,
yeah,
I don't need to prove
that to anyone.
You start
to identify with that. Yeah.
And then to just like not feeling like one, like I'm around all these other runners and I can't even keep up with them. I was like, I there's no way I'm the only one out there that has these similar experiences and these similar thoughts and ways and beliefs.
Yeah.
So that kind of kickstarted this whole thing.
Yeah. No, that's really cool.
Fun, silly little thing.
This little community you've built. This,
yeah.
It's great. It's great. I love it. I mean, and to your point, like realistic runner, I'll even admit, like I originally just assumed it was like pace directed, but you just said it. It's more than a lot more than just coming down to pace. It's coming down to like people who have normal lives, are living day to day completely like a normal person would, and finding time to fit in something that makes them happy. And taking the pressure off of that, which is great. Do you, I know you've talked about it a little bit on other platforms, but do you mind diving in a little bit more to that group run, that first one that really made you realize, okay, there's something going on here. Like, what was that experience like for you, if you're comfortable going through it?
Oh yeah. The very first one, where I live, there's a lot of like resources for just active lifestyles, right? And you know, the running community is very large, and especially like ultra marathoners and just fast runners and whatnot. But again, it was like one of those things I didn't really do a lot of research on. I just was like, oh, like, you know, there's a running store, like they're definitely gonna have a running group, like you know, I work within the running industry for my day job, like, you know, working with retailers and brands. So it's like, I'm familiar with the notions of this, like, yeah, it'll be great. So found my local retailer and, you know, sure enough, they had a Wednesday group run and, you know, they publicized and marketed online. All paces are welcome. Walkers welcome. Dogs welcome. Strollers welcome. Whatever. Yeah. I'm like, awesome. Love this. Let's try it out.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously, when you go to something new, you're putting yourself out there. It's intimidating. Like, you're probably going to be a little awkward, probably not going to talk to anyone immediately, like, until you start doing the activity. Like, that's just how it is. But I'm also very much like, well, you got to try it. You know, you got to try everything once. Until, you know, like,
it doesn't work out. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. And so I go, I'm nervous, but I'm like, you know, but I feel confident still. Like, I've ran a race and we're good. And we start this run. It's like you can do a 3 mile loop or a 4 mile loop. And I was like, oh, I'll do 4 miles. Like I need to get some miles in. And, even though like I'm from the area, the area that we were running and I was not familiar with. And so I was like, okay, well they have a map. I'll take a picture of the map. And I'll be fine. And we start running. I don't know what my brain was like. I need to be in the front. So I started in the front and quickly I'm getting past. Like, I'm like, it's okay. Like, it's fine. You know, we started going downhill. So I'm feeling good about myself. Right.
Sure.
And sure enough, just more and more people keep passing me, more and more and more and more. And before I know it, we're not even like a mile and a half in to this 4 mile run. And no one's around me. I'm like, sick.
like someone else has got to pass me soon, right?
Yeah, and exactly. And there was bless this woman that was there with me. Like, she stayed with me for a little bit, but she was still pushing it, and I'm like huffing and puffing. Like, when I say like I look like a red tomato, and I'm like like, you know, like when you're running with someone, you're like
they're trying like, to talk to you and you're like,
that was me, that
give
was
me a second.
Essentially, the little blurb I made was my title was, I thought this was a 4 mile fun run, turns out it's a 4 mile time trial. And like the thing, it was like, I just talked about like, and this was like when I had two friends on Strava, and I was like, yeah, like, you know, I went to this like wanting to find a group to run with, and it turned quickly into like, I'm trying to break a record over here, like, like, I mean, I was running at like a 10 minute pace, and I had not run at that pace in a really long time, so like, I, like, my body had gotten used to like slow vibes. Yep. And then going to that, my body was like, what are you doing?
For 4 miles too. Like, I feel like mm-hmm. I could push myself through a 5K, you know, but
yeah,
adding another mile on top, I would be the same.
And we were not running in a flat area either. Like, it was like hills on hills on hills. And brutal. So it was just funny, like, reading back to that. And I remember, like, the question I asked, and it's so funny, I didn't even know, like, I was gonna name my TikTok or Instagram this, but I was like, where are my realistic runners at?
Oh, I love that. You foreshadowed a little bit.
Like, in July, and, like, started this in August, so that was, like, kind of cool. But yeah, so after that, like, and I'm very much, like, if something happens to me and I'm like, I don't like this, but I'm determined to, like, have something, and like, for me it was community, like, I'll just create it for myself, like, I'll figure it out, like,
yeah.
And luckily, like, there was a huge Facebook group for running in general just where I am, so I just sent out a message like, hey, this is the pace I run at, who, you know, wants to run with me, like, once or twice a week, like, thinking like maybe 3 or 5 people would comment. And then it was just like abundant, like, so many people messaged me and were like,
that's so cool,
whoa, like, I've been wanting to find a group, but
I was gonna say, yeah,
fast, like,
you probably were just speaking to so many people that were thinking that exact same thing, but were too scared to say something.
Exactly. Because I mean, it's a weird and awkward thing to put your pace out there, and at that point I was just like, so, like, whatever about my pace,
yeah,
I just don't care, like, and because for so long I did care about my pace, because
yeah,
that's the only question people ever ask is, what is your pace? And it's like,
yeah, exactly.
I got to a point.
What was your marathon time? Doesn't matter.
I got to a point where it's like, I don't really give a shit. Like, I'm just gonna embrace my pace, literally. I think, like, Nicole Below Average Runner says that, like, embrace your pace.
Yeah.
And that's what I did. And so being able to, like, have that confidence just to post on that Facebook group and just see what's out there, it was like the same response as when I posted that first video on TikTok.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, okay, I'm not the only one.
no, there's a whole community of people out there, and they're the silent ones too, which is, I feel like recently there's been, at least for the people that I follow, I feel like there's been more of a community of people who are more willing to post their pace and show their journey from, like, start to marathon or whatever they're shooting for, which is so cool to see. But yeah, especially early on, there weren't a lot of people who were talking about slower paces, and people wouldn't really start posting about running until they were already at the point where they were running 9 minute miles or 10 minute miles. So yeah, you found a niche that of people that I think were probably hoping for a community like that, but they just didn't think that there was one for them.
Yeah. No, I think that's, like, the coolest thing is, like, especially not being on social media for so long, to then being on social media and, like, seeing that difference. Because, like, I remember when I was on social media, and, like, those games that you play with yourself that you're like, oh, I need to get faster, I need to improve, all that stuff. Like,
psychoanalyzing everything. Yeah.
Like, it's, like, just, it's your journey. It's whatever you want to do at the end of the day. And you're conquering the distances the same way. So.
Yep.
I don't know.
6 miles is 6 miles, whether you run it in 8 minutes and kill yourself, or you run it in 13 and feel good about it.
6 miles and 8 minutes,
their own.
Wild.
That would be pretty crazy. 8 minutes per mile. I should clarify that. Imagine.
I'm like, that's a
superhuman
right there. I'm like, that is
not gonna happen. That's so cool though. So you got to, you had your experiences that weren't so great. You created your own community. When did you start to, like, when did you start to have meetups and run with other people who had, like, paces like you?
Almost immediately. Like, I started that in end of August, September. And we had, like, our first run within, like, a week of kind of getting the group organized and people joining it. It's been like that ever since. I mean, like, and it's been a journey. Like, there's been, I mean, probably from August to January, February this year, it was like only like 1 or 2 people would show up. And, you know, it was like, oh man, like, why am I doing this? Like, because there was a lot of people in the Facebook group. So I was like so confused, like, why is no one showing up? Like, there's this many people in the group, but why is no one showing up? And one thing I'm really starting to learn in this position of, like, you know, leading this group run is, like, the importance of trust. Yeah. And how much trust has to be built before, one, people come out, but also, two, understand that, like, it is a safe place, and it is, like, when I say no runner gets left behind, I mean no runner will get left behind.
Yeah.
And I think people, you know, have to kind of, like, now some of the runners that come more regularly, like, now we have, like, anywhere from 15 to 20 plus that come out, which is so awesome.
Yeah.
And, you know, to go from one or two people, the OGs, I call them, like, for such a long time, like, I was running, and I love, like, Chuck is my dog. He's, like, yeah. He's, like, 70-year-old man. And it was just me and him hanging out for, like, so
probably
long.
Probably the highlight of his week.
Oh, yeah. Like, it was, like, but we would have great conversation. I think,
yeah.
Too, it's just, like, people have to see, like, the consistency and have to, like, scope it out for themselves. Like, especially, totally. Like, if you have been to a group run, and for many runners in this group, they have been to group runs where they did get left behind. And, like, weren't allowed to take walk breaks,
right?
And that trust was broken, like, time and time again,
right?
And they have to just see, you know, okay, more and more people are coming, like, maybe this is actually good. Like, and I still get messages that are like, I don't think I can keep up with you guys, and I'm like, you know, there's only so much reassurance I can do before they just have to come out and experience it for themselves. But, like, now people are starting to, like, see, oh, this actually is a good and safe place that, like, stands by their words, as you know, as much as possible. And, like,
yeah.
You know, like, there have been a couple failed group runs, like, where I just, and it's mostly on me, I just don't post the route, and someone, like, you know, some parts of the group go off in one direction, and, like,
it's all a part of
the learning process, right? And but for most of the time, it's, like, pretty there and standard. So
yeah,
anyway.
And are you the one to make sure that nobody gets left behind? Are you the one that's staying at the back of the pack for the most part, and making sure everybody's in front of you?
Yep. I for me, it's like, I have been the last person too much. I don't want anyone to ever experience that, because it doesn't feel great. And
right,
in my humble opinion, a good leader is one that stays at the back.
Totally.
And totally. I stand by that statement. Like, you have to, as a group run leader, and I've had so many conversations with other group run leaders and just other people in general, is like, your agenda, your training plan, your runs do not matter when you are leading a group. Like, you have to put your agenda aside, put your ego aside, and be there for people that show up, because the people that show up need to be there for a certain reason. And it took a lot of courage and bravery for some people to show up. And you have to just let go of your own stuff and your own expectations, and just be with those people.
Yeah.
Because, like, that makes the biggest difference. And, like, I don't know, it's like, I think back to a lot of other group runs that I've been to, and it's like, how big of a difference it would have made if someone circled back and, like, or just, you know, just stayed back there with me. And, like, we had a great conversation. And it's like, it's not coming from a place of pity. It's more just like, hey,
no.
We start together, we end together. Like, and
it's a community. It's a sense of community.
And we're connecting. Like, at the very root of it, it's all about connection. And the connection has to go from the front to the back.
Totally.
So
I love that. That's so cool.
Yeah.
That's so cool. And it's funny, like, looking back, even now that I know more about your journey, like, you probably would have could have loved somebody like you in the beginning of your running journey. I think we could all say that too. It would have been just so beneficial. Maybe would have kickstarted things a bit quicker, would have caused less pressure on yourself, and led to less injury if you had somebody that was telling you in the beginning, like, hey, it's okay to finish this run, you know, to the best of your ability. So that's really cool to look back to on your own journey.
Yeah, I think, like, just in general, like, running can be so intimidating because of just, like, what we see online and just in general, and the way that it's perceived. And it's like, it's not really that intimidating. Mm-mm. But just
anyone
the
can
way
do it.
That we talk about it can be very intimidating. So it's like, how can I make this as least intimidating as possible and show that, like, truly anyone can be a runner? Like, anyone is capable of doing any of these distances. It's just a matter of, like, coming at it from a place of, like, curiosity and, like, love and understanding, rather than, like, you have to do this big thing and like you have to totally. Do it really fast. Blah, blah, blah. Like it's
yeah.
not
yeah.
that deep.
No, you have to have grace with yourself, especially in the beginning. Yeah. I've said this before, but like, and I don't mean this to deter people from starting to run. Definitely start to run. Find a community yeah. that'll help you through this. But the first 6 months are not going to feel good. Like it's not. You have to no. build a baseline for yourself and get over the point where it doesn't feel good for it to start to be really beneficial. And like you were talking about it being like yeah. therapy for you. It takes a second where you have to push through your body hurting and your lungs hurting until you get to that point where it's really, really yeah. beneficial. So don't give up in the beginning just because it sucks for a little bit. It gets a lot yeah. better.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Mm. Yeah.
Good stuff. Love it.
Well, cool. So I guess just a couple closing questions that I've been asking at the end to sort of gather some information. Because like I've said before, like in the beginning, especially as a newer runner, there's a lot of information, a lot of it's conflicting, and it's hard to sort through. So for you, what is some advice that you would give somebody who is looking to run their first marathon?
Okay. I'm like, let me go back to like my top five things I wanted to know.
Yeah. You give us your list.
Well, first thing is shoes. Go to your local running store, get a gait analysis or go through their fit process and get the right pair of shoes for your feet. This is probably going to be a hot take, but just because what you see online and what the new shoes are, it does not mean that they are the right shoes for you.
So definitely not. Yeah.
Just because everyone's getting on whatever train it is, does not mean that you also need to get on that train, especially when it comes to running and just your overall well-being, your physical well-being. And so wear the shoes that work for you. And then also get socks, moisture wicking socks specifically. So Features are great. Belega is great. There are some other cheaper options out there, but you just want to make sure that you look at the materials that they're made out of. Make sure that they're moisture wicking. So it's a lot of like polyester nylon blends. Done a lot of research. Other thing, first time marathoners, you don't have to do the fancy goos and shoes. Like if you want to just do nerd clusters, I did dried mango and dried fruit all the time. Like,
yeah, it doesn't have to be that crazy.
That's fine. Save money. Like you don't need to get and try all of the like fancy gels.
And definitely not.
No, don't worry about that. Yeah. Next thing, if you have the resources financially, I would advise that you invest or purchase a running plan from a running coach. So whether it's like a one-time consultation, they come up with a running plan for you, great, do that. There are a lot of resources out there, but I would definitely advise someone, or I would advise you if you have the financial means, to talk with a running certified coach. I think looking back on that, I would have invested in that. Even if it was a one-off, like it just come up with a plan for me, I'll figure out the rest.
Yeah.
Because I think that would have saved a lot of just trouble that I experienced instead of just like winging it the way that I did.
Give you a little confidence too, if you're getting it from somebody who knows what they're doing. Yeah,
exactly. And I don't know. I think, and the last thing is just understand your why. Like, you know, when you decide to sign up for a marathon, you need to have something that you can always turn back to, especially when it gets hard, when training is so confusing and unbearable and you're like, why am I doing this? Like, find your motivation and your reason and write that down. Like, have that in the back of your mind. Or like I had a voice memo of myself, like things got tough and like it was just me talking to myself, like, Kenzie, do not stop now, like this is why you're running. And it truly makes a difference, because we're all running for a certain reason, and to have that and hold that close to your heart is so important. And honestly, just have fun. Like, enjoy the process. Enjoy what you learn about yourself and about, you know, running as a whole. And get more caught up in the goodness rather than, like, the hard.
Totally. Yeah, focus on the feeling you feel when you finish the run and shoot for that.
Yes. Yeah,
that's great. I love that. Mm-hmm. hopefully this doesn't contradict everything that you just said, but for you specifically, what fuel would you recommend starting out? So you said mangoes, dried mangoes is kind of what you went for. Were there any that any that you developed later on in your running career that you really liked as well?
Yeah. So dried mangoes specifically from Trader Joe's. Very good. I also did like dried apples. Mm-hmm. They have like a chewy option rather than like the crispy options that were really good.
Yeah.
I did gummy bears for a good bit.
That's a good one.
And now that I've tried some other fuels and stuff. I love, if you want to try running fuels, and invest some more money in that, Scratch Labs, their chews, specifically the raspberry flavor, is very good. And then Spring Energy Gels, mostly just because like it has an apple. Oh, I did go-go squeezes a lot for a really long time. I still do.
Oh, really?
That. Oh, yeah. I looked like a 3-year-old when I was running out there, but, like, go-go squeezes are legit, you guys.
I mean, they're like, kind of the same thing, right? Like, you'd still take it the same way you would, like, just a regular gel or something
exactly.
like that on a
and
run.
It's significantly cheaper. Like, applesauce.
Oh, for sure.
Honestly,
Costco,
like,
get a huge box.
Because I, like, I'm, the all the goos and stuff, like, my belly does not sit well with those.
No.
And so, like,
yeah, I agree.
I had to do some just, like, actual normal food. So applesauce is a big one for me. I still do that. Go-go squeeze is the best. They just are bulky. So,
sure.
But Spring, if you want a little higher energy, Spring gels are good. They have this exact same consistency as the awesome sauce flavor. I don't like any of the other flavors. I think they're garbage, but, LOL. but the awesome sauce flavor is really good. And, but they are a little pricey. And then I've been recently getting into Huma.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I've tried them. Yeah.
The
I definitely feel like
ones.
You have to take them with a lot of water, but I do like the flavors.
Yes. Yeah. The mango flavor specifically tastes exactly like the mango strips from Trader Joe's. That's why I like it.
it's
but
all
it's
coming
not
back
everyone.
to the dried fruit. I think maybe you should stick with what you love.
And Nerd Clusters. I mean, that's just like a given. I haven't done those in a while, but they're really
good.
But
in the beginning, like any sort of gummy candy like that is definitely a more inexpensive option for sure.
Yeah. I sometimes have to be careful with that kind of stuff though, because my teeth feel like they're going to like fall out of my gums when I have like that much like sugary candy. So.
Yeah, yeah.
but yeah, those are my go-to gels.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Cool. What shoes did you start off with? What shoes do you really, really love now?
Oh, great question. But also, disclaimer, please go try on your
please
shoes.
Please go to Fleet Feet or wherever you want to go and get your feet measured for sure.
Yeah. The first shoe I got fitted in, and the one that, like, I would still wear if, like, I, you know, wanted to, is the Brooks Ghost. I feel like it's, like, the standard, like, a lot of people get suggested the Brooks Ghost, and they're just a great shoe overall.
Definitely.
I like them. I mean, I ran my first half marathon, my first marathon in them. And then I went to another running store when I was traveling for work, and I was like, oh, I'll just go through y'all's fit process, see what you guys recommend. And they recommended Brooks Ghost, but then they also recommended the Saucony Rides. So I ran in those for a bit for Chicago. And then I just now am getting into the Saucony Glides.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, and I'm obsessed with the Saucony Glides. I was in the Ride 16s for a little bit, and then they just got the Ride 17s. I don't like the Ride 17s. I think they're garbage. Might be controversial, but LOL,
no,
I don't care.
I feel like Saucony's a little bit like that, where like some of them I really, really love, and then some of them they'll come out with a newer version. I'm like, oh, I think I'm going to stick with the older ones.
Yeah.
Same thing with Brooks, too. Like, that's happened to me with Brooks, too.
Yeah, and it's not like that they're garbage. It's more just like the way, like, it's just a little, like, I don't know, like, clunkier for me. Like,
sure,
the 17s over the 16s, but... Again, I don't really know a lot about technology, so if there's anyone that works from Saucony that's listening to this, sorry.
sorry. Reach out. You can change my mind.
but the Glides are where it's at. I love those Glides. Those things are so comfortable and, like, really just changed my game in terms of running.
Cool.
But, yeah, those are the shoes now.
Cool.
So,
cool.
Yeah. Slay.
Well, last couple of questions are just what is coming up next for you? Do you have any races on the calendar? Anything with the run club that's coming up? What is next for you?
Yeah. So I'll be running the Nashville Rock and Roll Half Marathon at the end of April. So pumped. I love Nashville. I haven't been there.
I've heard good things about that one. I want to make my way out there at some point.
I've never had a rock and roll race, so we'll see how it goes. But super pumped with that. I'll be running with one of my followers for a giveaway I did for TikTok when I hit 10K on TikTok.
That's awesome.
The winner was like a free race entry fee, and then also I'll run it with you. And so that was the choice that she chose.
So cool. That was a great idea. Yeah.
So I'm so pumped to meet her in person and just have a good time and listen to some good music on the route and in Nashville. And then after that, I'll be headed to Montana for the Glacier Half Marathon with my longtime best friend. It'll be her first half marathon, so I'll be running that with her. And then Chicago.
That's gonna be beautiful.
Yeah, yeah.
The Montana one.
I'm excited.
And then the big one in the Chicago. In October. Okay, cool.
Yeah, and then another fun little race in November that has yet to be announced. So
cool. Yeah, well, lots coming up. You've got like your full year planned out already for races.
Yeah. And that, then there's some spontaneity in there. Sometimes people are hey, you want to do this? And I'm like, I probably shouldn't, but
yeah. I feel like once you like have a good base for running, anytime somebody reaches out to me, asks if I want to run something, as long as I don't have to take a flight there, I'm like, yeah, 100%. Just send me the link. I'm already there.
Yeah. We work it into the budget.
Yeah, exactly. Cool. Well, we talked a lot about your social media, but where can we find you on social media? And if there's anything else you want to plug?
Yeah. I am on TikTok. The handle is, my name, Mackenzie.rank, but just look up The Realistic Runner, it should pop up. And then Instagram, it's The Realistic Runner. So that's it. That's all I got for you.
Perfect. No, that's great. Well, thank you so much for coming on. I knew a little bit of your story from social media, but it was great to talk through kind of beginning to marathon to what you've got coming up next. So really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Taylor. This is awesome. I love it. Yeah, I can't wait to listen to more of your episodes. I've listened.
Well, now that we're both in North Carolina, we'll have to find some time to run together soon.
We will. We will. Cool. We will, for sure.
All right. Thank you again. Talk to you soon.
Thank you.